Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore. Joining me, as always, is Jake Barnett. We are here for your WWE SmackDown audio review for the show that aired on March 29th. It was taped on the 26th in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And, Jake, for all intents and purposes, this was the last SmackDown before WrestleMania. This was yes, there's technically a show next week, but you and I both know we've covered the show for a couple of years now, and that last show before Mania is really nothing but hype videos, and they usually plug in some stuff from Access. Maybe we'll get a match or two. And for those of you who think I'm making assumptions here, there is no taping for next week's SmackDown. There is no Tuesday taping. There's no taping Monday night. They might tape a match or two Monday night at Raw for SmackDown. But those will be very, very short. Again, it's going to be almost a two-hour infomercial next week. So SmackDown's last chance to put any hype on WrestleMania. And, you know, before we do anything else, before I even get in the plug for the member side, before I do anything, I just have to ask, because I watched the show Saturday morning. I was working Friday night with PWX and had a good time there. And so I didn't get a chance to watch it until Saturday morning. And when the show was over, I was sitting there going, what did I just see? How poor of a job can you do to build towards a show? I thought the show was just a complete miss. I wrote as such in my hits and in my hit list this week. Out of the box real quick. Did WWE blow an opportunity here? Because I sure feel like they did.
Yeah, I mean, it sure felt like it to me. I mean, it was a fairly well-paced show. I mean, it went by fairly quickly, just covering it. But there wasn't really anything on the show that made me more excited for WrestleMania. I mean, it felt like a holding pattern at best. It was disappointing, you know, to see so many opportunities missed. I thought the weightlifting segment with Henry and Ryback might have had some potential, but the way it was handled I thought was pretty boring. And, you know, the Shield and Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show, you know, they tried to do some things, but I don't feel like they moved anything forward from Monday. And it was kind of the same thing with Swagger and Del Rio as well. I mean, it just kind of feels like they've done all that they think they can with these angles, and they're just kind of let it ride until WrestleMania. And I think that's a huge missed opportunity personally. I don't think they've really developed many of those angles fully to their potential at all, and I think they're leaving a lot on the table by taking this approach.
Yeah, I had one hit in my hit list this week. I thought there was one segment that actually did something to build towards Mania in a meaningful way that didn't come across as silly or cliched or disjointed or weak or whatever the case may be. One segment, that was it, and we'll talk about it as we get through the show, but I'm just blown away by how poor of a job WWE has done on the SmackDown side of building things towards WrestleMania. There's been a couple of moments over the past couple of weeks, but this week Rock comes out and does some silly shtick stuff, doesn't really build towards WrestleMania. You get some silly infighting between Big Show and Sheamus and Randy Orton a little bit there, being the voice of reason. And they chase off the Shield. It's just, you know, and then their match at the end of the show with the with Show and Sheamus and Orton had friggin' Antonio Cesaro yodeling in it. You know, just there were so many things that were just wasted opportunities. But let me tell you what's not a wasted opportunity. Let me get the quick plug in here because if you usually skip past this part, just hang on for a second. I'm not going to make it long and drawn out this week, but I do want to tell you what we have on tap for our members this weekend or this coming week. Going into next weekend, WrestleMania weekend, there is going to be a ton of audio exclusive to our members. Jason Powell and I will be doing a full preview and predictions of WrestleMania, along with our .NET weekly flagship show, where we'll look at all the news, the final news building into WrestleMania. We'll be talking about some of the other shows that will be going on, Dragon Gate, Evolve, Ring of Honor, TNA, that will be going on around WrestleMania. Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com will be joining Jason on Sunday morning for their annual discussion about the WWE Hall of Fame. Brian will be attending Saturday night. He and Jason get together on Sunday morning to talk about that show, and of course we know how packed that show is this year. Jason and I will be doing a full review of WWE's WrestleMania 29 after the show that night. We will be joined by former creative member Seth Mates, I apologize if you guys can hear that noise in the background. I'm staying with my aunt this week while I'm up here for the Ring of Honor Asheville show, and her phone's ringing in the background, and I'll try to close that out. But so Seth Mates, former creative team member, will be joining us for that. We got him to commit to it last year, and he's agreed to come back on this year. I know Jake and Will Pruitt are going to be getting together and doing, I believe, an audio review of the show as well, and a preview show. Is that correct, Jake?
Yep, that is the case, and we'll have the countdown as well on Wednesday, going through the best and worst of the build towards WrestleMania, so that should be good, too.
And, of course, we will have Jason will have the WWE Raw review, Q&A, more than likely. Q&A gets kind of iffy during WrestleMania weekend because there's so much other audio going on, so that may get pushed back to the next week. But a ton of audio, some of it will be all access, but the vast majority of it will be for our members. And so now is the time. Head over to ProWrestling.net, sign up to be a .NET member. $7.50 will get you the next month. You'll get to go all the way through. I'm pretty sure it gets you all the way through Extreme Rules as well, where Rock is booked to appear again. And you'll get access to all that audio. You'll be able to follow along with us Sunday night for WrestleMania on the ad-free version of the site. Talk about it with other members in the .NET member forum and blog about it in the .NET member blog section. Folks, sign up now. Become a .NET member. Get access to all this audio. Seth Mates is going to be a treat. He was great last year. I'm looking forward to being able to do audio again with him this year. Preview and predictions, Brian Fritz, all of those things, exclusive to our members. So go right now. Become a .NET member. $7.50 a month, $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. Sign up right now and get access to all that stuff as we head into WrestleMania weekend. Jake, let's take this show from start to finish. Again, it was taped on the 26th of March in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and we opened right away with The Rock. Of course, we got the narration at the beginning that WWE is now doing. But pretty much, we opened right with The Rock. The Rock came out. First thing I noticed was he got a great response from the crowd, but it's funny. We often talk about, I wonder if they pipe in cheers or pipe in boos and that sort of thing. Sometimes the crowds aren't mic'd well. Sometimes they're mic'd crazily. But our correspondent said that the place went absolutely insane when Rock came out and it was thunderous and the building was shaking and all those sorts of things. It didn't come across on TV like that. I mean, they were hot for The Rock, but after reading what our correspondent said, and maybe he oversold it, I'm not, you know, putting this on WWE, but I was kind of shocked, Jake. You know, he got a great response. I don't want to try to downplay it. But at least on my speakers, and granted I was watching on my laptop, but at least on my speakers, it didn't seem all that impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't room shaking. I mean, we saw, room shaking a couple of months ago with Ryback kind of taking on CM Punk, and we saw the hard camera kind of shake from the from the ovation and the crowd kind of pounding. But this wasn't one of those occasions, so I mean, maybe it might have been a little bit of hyperbole from our correspondent, but he definitely got a good reaction. It just wasn't, you know, the thunderous one that was kind of revealed by our report.
Yeah, don't let me underplay it and make it sound like there were six guys standing up and cheering. No, I mean they were happy to see The Rock. They were thrilled in Hershey to see The Rock. But I was kind of set up for this. Like I was waiting for it. I was like, ooh, I want to see this place go nuts. And they were excited, but it wasn't the nuts that I was expecting. That might be my fault by expecting too much based on that, but. At any rate, he did get a great reaction. He came to the ring, and then he started a bunch of shtick. They played the clip where Rock hit Cena with a rock bottom from Monday and pointed out how Cena was looking at him desperately after it was over. And then from there, he went into almost entire shtick. He pulled out a Hershey bar and said that about a month ago on Raw, he did a little thing called Story Time with the Rock. He actually called it Story Time. I wasn't really sure what he was doing there. He forgot his line or what, but it was kind of weird how he held on to the S. He talked about, you know, what happened there when he was in Nashville and said that he moved to a small town called Bethlehem, Pennsylvania after that. He talked about having a creepy mustache and put a picture of himself at 15 up on the Titantron. So hopefully now all those people who love to give me crap about a mustache I used to have can now put all that hate on The Rock when he was 15. He said that he was half black, half Samoan, and looked like a bouncer for the band Menudo. Then he asked him to get that picture off the screen. He said one of the benefits of being in Bethlehem was being an hour from a certain park where he could ride amusement rides and eat as much chocolate as he wanted. He did the finally bit at that point, which did get the crowd hot again. He said he loves coming to Hershey and recalled a weekend where he was there and he couldn't find a whatchamacallit. That's what he wanted more than anything else. He said he drove his friends nuts trying to find it, and when he finally did, someone grabbed it right in front of him, and that's when his catchphrase appeared, because he told that person if they didn't put that candy bar down, he was going to kick their candy ass, and he said the grandma very quickly put the candy bar down. He said that Hershey is the birthplace so that means that Hershey was where candy ass or kicking candy ass was born. He said a man will go to great lengths to get what he wants, whether it's candy or defeating John Cena at WrestleMania. He went on from there about how Cena got in his face and he got his candy ass kicked at that point. He said that no matter what Cena did, his jean shorts or Fruity Pebbles, he was going to continue to kick his candy ass. And he started to say more, and he was just kind of getting to the point where I thought, okay, finally we're going to settle into the hype. And friggin' John Laurinaitis' music hits, and he comes out to the ring. They went to commercial, and I want to go ahead and break here, Jake, because that's how, you know, that's how people watching it saw it. And so we could take the whole segment and talk about it. But I want to take this chunk because you wrote this in your report. It was cute and all, but just as it's starting to get important stuff, he's cut off by John Laurinaitis. I have said, starting from last year as the build for Cena, I guess maybe 2 years ago now at this point, as the build for Cena and Rock was going on, I've never been a fan of just straight, silly shtick from The Rock. I think it has its place. It's a lot of fun. I can enjoy it. But when it comes to major matches, this sort of stuff gets on my nerves. But I let it go because usually they get around to doing the right thing. And it looks like just as he was getting around to doing the right thing, John Laurinaitis steps in and cuts him off, and they go to commercial. What do you think about, I mean, I realize that you know what happens after the break at this point, but try to kind of put that aside for a minute. Let me ask you, do you think this was an effective opening to have Rock come out there, do the whole Fruity Pebbles, candy ass, beat up a grandma sort of thing, and just when he's starting to talk about the actual match at WrestleMania, bam, John Laurinaitis shows up and ends that, and they go to commercial. Do you think that was effective?
Personally, for me, no. I mean, it sure didn't do anything for me, and I think you mentioned that I indicated that in my report. I mean, the story time stuff is cute, and I suppose if you're... And if you're really into The Rock and you like the shtick, then, you know, this is probably, you know, right up your alley. But it definitely doesn't do much for me because I think I've seen, you know, enough of that, you know, even in his current run to kind of be at the point where I'm amused by it but not, you know, overly entertained. It's not something that would have kept me glued to my television, you know, through a commercial break if I had a choice to flip the channel to something else at that point. So, if I wasn't covering the show, that hard break to commercial with Laurinaitis probably would not have held my attention to the break.
I was usually when I watch, if I have to watch on delay, I usually follow along with your report while I'm watching, and I wasn't doing that this time. I was just trying to watch the show. And when it went to commercial, I was like, wait, what just happened? Did they really go to commercial right there? Is Rock still in the ring and John Laurinaitis is coming out? What in the hell is going on here? I was just, you know, I don't mind the shtick, or I'm willing to let the shtick go because they usually get around to it, but this was all shtick, and it continued after the break, especially knowing what happens after the break. It's even more of a head-scratcher because Laurinaitis gets in the ring after the break and says, you know, look, everybody expects me to come out here and talk too long and to take a people's elbow, but Teddy Long gave me permission to come out here and talk, so I just want to point out that you're the people's champ, and I invented people power. And he said that they had a common foe. He said that John Cena was the reason he got fired, and the reason that he is back because he wanted to offer The Rock a business arrangement. He wanted to be in Rock's corner. He said, and he repeated this line, and now I'm beginning to scratch my head a little bit. But he said, John Cena will do whatever it takes to beat you at WrestleMania. You know it, and I know it. Jake, before we go any farther, are they playing off of the fact that Cena made that statement at Raw, and now all these people are starting to go, well, wait, could it be the heel turn? Or do you think this is just, you know, that he's just out there talking and this is the line they came up with? Because they keep going back to that. John Cena will do whatever it takes to win. That's what a heel does.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if this is what they were trying to hint at, why not start 6 weeks ago? I don't get that. I mean, why?
Yeah.
Why did it just start on Monday? But, you know, it definitely seems like they're leaning into that now that, you know, it's been out there. And, you know, Laurinaitis made a point to say it here, and maybe we'll get some more from it on Monday. But it definitely seems like they're playing into the idea that Cena might be willing, you know, he's so obsessed with this match and he's so obsessed with beating The Rock that he might be willing to bend the rules to get what he wants. And, you know, I like it personally. I mean, I think it's, you know, the biggest change of pace we've seen from Cena in years, and I think it's desperately what he needs to kind of break through, you know, whatever barrier is keeping him from getting, you know, the cheers of that 60% of the crowd now that kind of stays silent or boos when he comes out. So, you know, I'm ready for whatever they're going to do with Cena. I'm not sure Laurinaitis is the best messenger to push that forward, but maybe they have something in mind for him and Cena in the future. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I didn't think anything about this as Laurinaitis came out and we saw how it was kind of starting to play out. I thought, well, okay, he's just out there to take the bump from The Rock and get the big cheer moment. But when he repeated that line, it just stood out to me. Wow, they keep going back to that. John Cena is going to do whatever it takes. And I do not expect John Cena to turn heel at WrestleMania. I'm not sitting here going, oh, this is it, and getting worked up like that. But I'm willing to consider it because they keep going back to that line. I would not bet on it in any way, shape, or form, but they have done a good job. And even if he doesn't, I got to give them credit, whether by accident or on purpose. They have done a good job of creating that question by kind of going back to that again and again. But you're absolutely correct. That should have started 6 weeks ago, not 14 days or 13 days before WrestleMania. This should have been going on for quite some time. Nevertheless, Johnny is you know, tracking John Cena, saying he wants to be in Rock's corner. He said that they could be a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, two great tastes that taste great together. There's so many jokes there. We're just going to move past that and keep going. Rock said that they should involve, since he talked about the people, they should involve the people. So we asked them, should he let John Laurinaitis be in his corner? Obviously, the crowd was not into that idea. He said the people had spoken. And they said no, but that they wanted to send John Cena a message. They could both do something they wanted to do, and that was send John Cena a message. But before they did that, they had to agree, and that meant they had to shake hands. Laurinaitis agreed, shook Rock's hand, starts to leave two or three times, which was kind of bizarre because Rock was like, okay, we're going to do this, but first we have to shake hands. So they shake hands, and Laurinaitis tries to leave. It's like, wouldn't you want to stay around and find out what the hell it is Rock is proposing that you just agreed to? But he tries to leave three times. Rock keeps holding on, and then finally Rock drops him with a weak spine buster, and then hits the people's elbow to get the big pop and end the segment. We're at this point, we're well into the second quarter of the show. We started with this very, very long talking segment after a very, very long talking segment to close out Monday night show. And again, I just don't think it was effective. I think the live crowd loved it, and had I been in the live crowd, I probably would have gotten off on it too, because, you know, Rock comes out there and entertains. But from a selling of WrestleMania standpoint, and I, you know, we've already kind of covered this a little bit, Jake, but, you know, they just, how does this put heat on John Cena? I'm not saying you can't do it with a surrogate. Like, you know, John Laurinaitis is out there serving as a surrogate, basically, and you can get away with that. But a guy that Cena put out is going to go, I mean, how does that help that match at all?
Yeah, that was kind of the puzzler to me, too. I mean, I understand, you know, if you want to have somebody go out there and take a beating on behalf of John Cena for The Rock. You know, Cena wasn't advertised for the show. You know, they had to do something. But I don't know if Laurinaitis was the right messenger. I mean, I'm sure all the crowd members, you know, there in Pennsylvania wanted to see Laurinaitis get his, because, you know, he's monotone and he's irritating, but I don't know if he was, you know, if he was the right stand-in. You know, he wasn't necessarily even arguing for, you know, John Cena at WrestleMania, so it didn't make a whole lot of sense for him to be the stand-in for the beating. But I get what they were trying to do. I think, you know, is Laurinaitis from Hershey or Pennsylvania, somewhere in the area? I mean, was he a local guy? Is that why they brought him up for this thing? I'm not entirely sure, you know, why he got the nod here. I thought it might have been because he was local. But it was a bizarre segment, and I think it was definitely aimed towards the live crowd. And I don't think it nearly, you know, pushed anybody's buttons on television. It was kind of a weird kind of house show type segment to me. At least that's what it felt like.
He's Animal's brother, Animal from the Road Warriors, and they always repelled from Chicago. So I'm guessing that's where he's from. He's billed from California, though, so I don't know. I mean, that was when he was with the Dynamic Dudes, though, so who knows with Lauren Hines. I don't know why they picked him to come out there, but they did, and he took the beating, and that was fine. But I just don't know that it has, you know, that Cena. You would think John Cena would be in the back waiting to shake Rock's hand for beating up John Laurinaitis. That's the thing that's so bizarre about it, is why that guy. So I don't know, but they went with this. It was what it was. It was a lot of shtick. I gave it a miss in my hit list because it was all shtick. It didn't do anything to sell. He hits the Rock Bottom, hits the people's elbow, looks at Laurinaitis and says, you know, John Cena, I'm kicking your ass. But I just don't think it transfers over. This was a swing and a miss on their part. They didn't get it done. Jericho made his entrance, though, before the commercial break. Afterwards, we get the clip of the beatdown he took from Fandango on Monday, Fandango. And then we're in for our first of a very, very few matches. That was the other thing I noticed about the show, too. Very, very little wrestling. But we've got our first match of the night at this point. Chris Jericho defeating Wade Barrett in 8 minutes and 9 seconds. Very good match, very entertaining. Finish on this comes when Jericho misses his kind of springboard drop kick that he does over the ropes, crashes to the floor. Barrett goes after him, rolls him in, gets distracted by Miz, who was sitting in on commentary at ringside. And when he gets back in the ring, Jericho hits a code breaker and allows him to get the win. So Miz has been at ringside putting over their match. He and Barrett have this kind of moment, so that adds a little bit of something to their match at WrestleMania, not a lot. And it's kind of a dead feud in that sense because both guys have been just abused and misused so much that nobody cares about either one of them. But there was at least an effort here to help sell that match. And then we got Jericho making fun of Fandango's name again, running through all the different ways that the different screwy ways that he can say it. He even closed with a line from Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Can you do the Fandango? So, but Fandango dances out with his woman. They come out to all the way down to the ring. Teases getting in the ring, and then no, he and the lady dance back to the back, and that's where we leave Jericho standing in the ring with not able to get his hands on Fandango. I like this. Yes, he's getting You Can't Wrestle chance and all that sort of thing, and if this was going on for much longer before he got in the ring, I would be concerned that they were going to burn this guy up before they ever got him in the ring. But it's WrestleMania. It makes sense. You let Jericho cut his Y2J babyface promos where he makes fun of the guy. He keeps Johnny Curtis out of the ring. Make people want to see it at WrestleMania when he finally has his first match. You may not like the program, and I certainly can understand that, but I think they're doing, for what they've got to work with, I think they're doing a fine job with this. And this was a hit of a segment, as I wrote in my hit list, and for no other reason than you had a match that managed to give at least a little bit of a lift to two different programs we're going to see at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the match quite a bit. I thought Barrett and Jericho worked pretty well together. The Miz's involvement, once he said in that commentary, was plainly obvious, I thought, but it wasn't the bad kind of obvious. It made sense given the situation, and Fandango, he did his shtick again. I mean, obviously he didn't get a whole lot of time to talk here, but I think he does a good job of conveying, his disdain for Jericho just through facial expressions, and his dancer kind of pointed at Jericho and winked at him a couple of times, too. It was kind of bizarre in that sense, too. Because there wasn't a whole lot of action going on, I was kind of trying to pay attention to what they were doing with facial expressions. She caught me off guard more than Fandango did for whatever reason. But it was well done, and I thought it advanced both programs. And I'm actually looking forward to Jericho and Fandango more than the rest of the undercard at this point. I think they've done a fairly good job, and I think we're going to get a fairly good and maybe unexpected for some people match out of those two.
Yeah, we're in complete agreement on the Jericho Fandango match. It is the undercard match that I want to see. You know, there's other stuff that nothing really stinks to me on the WrestleMania card at this point. There are some that I'm less excited about than others, but if you separate it into the undercard and everything else, the match that I want to see on the undercard is Fandango versus Jericho. I'm interested to see what Johnny Curtis can do with this character in the ring. I'm interested to see how the dance side of it plays into any of the possible moveset. I want to see what they got for the guy. And as Jason pointed out, yeah, this is a really strange and bizarre character that doesn't seem like it's going to work, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and every single one of those things were said when Goldust debuted many, many years ago, and we see how that turned out. So I'm not calling Johnny Curtis Goldust. I'm not saying that Fandango is Goldust. I'm just saying you can't necessarily judge how long-term an act's going to do based upon the first few minutes of it. So something to keep in mind. From there, we got, let's see, what's commercial? When we came back, we get a video package that hyped the Lesnar and Triple H feud, show Triple H in the gym and some of this. Just like all of these videos, it's worth seeing. They do a good job of putting heat on the matches with these sort of videos. But then we cut backstage to Paul Heyman and sitting down with Josh Matthews. It was listed as recorded earlier today. It was obviously because Matthews is sitting at ringside. Matthews started asking a couple of questions, and Heyman blew him off a couple of times. And he's like, really, you're going to ask me about this? No. Here's what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell you that because Brock wanted it on the record that Triple H's whole livelihood on the line. He said that Triple H will not be able to handle just the role. The CEO of a publicly traded company would be jealous of the locker room he was trying to lead because of what happens at WrestleMania. He said locker room would be poison and would rebel against him, and Triple H would have to confront two mistakes. First, he can't mentally compete with Paul Heyman. Second, he can't physically compete with Brock Lesnar. Heyman is great on the stick. We've talked about this many times. But I was kind of left wanting on this. It wasn't terrible. I can't, point to it and go, oh, this stunk, this was bad, blah, blah, blah. But when it was over, I was just kind of indifferent about it. How about you?
I don't think it was all that different than what they've been saying. The first kind of confrontational promo that Triple H and Heyman did with the contract signing, they kind of went over some of this already, with his career being on the line and what that meant. I think this was kind of fleshing out the point. I do think this combined with the video package did a good job at just cementing the idea that, Triple H might not understand all the consequences that he faces, putting his career on the line. He might think that it's just his in-ring career, but, how his other parts of his life may suffer from that, he might not quite understand yet. So, they tried to at least introduce something a little bit deeper than the surface level. Well, he's just not going to have any wrestling matches anymore. The psychological effect of being retired by a physically superior athlete, and then the mental fallout from that, I thought. Heyman did a good job at least kind of trying to cement that there's two sides to that, rather than just, him being done in the ring. So in that respect, I think this was a success. But you're right, I did want him to talk a little bit longer. I thought they cut this a little bit short. He probably had some more interesting things to say, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe wanting more is better than having him talk too much.
And maybe they do more on Monday. Yeah, like I said, I don't want to make it sound like this was bad. It wasn't. He delivered his lines and did what he needed to do, and it was good in that sense. But I don't know. To me, the Triple H and Brock Lesnar feud, the match is done. You know what I'm saying? Like that one has hit the perfect simmer. You're exactly where you want to be. Now you're just biding your time until it's time to finish it. I don't know that they need to add anything else to it at this point. I'm happy with that feud. I think that one is where it needs to be. This didn't hurt it by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a lot of the same, like you said, and on some level. And I do see what you're saying about trying to dig a little bit deeper here. But I think it's just, I don't know, on some level for me, it's just kind of unnecessary because I think this feud is ready. It's one of the few WrestleMania matches where it's like, okay, you did what you needed to do there. That one's done. That one's ready to go. You don't have, spend some more time on it in the sense of keeping people reminded about it. And that's kind of what this was. It was very short and sweet and to the point. But I probably of all the matches, that one is exactly where it needs to be. Cena Rock, very, very close. Much more excited for that next year. I think there's still room that they can make it even hotter this Monday if they want to. But I think Triple H and Brock Lesnar is where it needs to be. I'm looking forward to that match. One match that is not where it needs to be, and they've done a really poor job of what they could have done with this. It's one of those situations where the good is the enemy of the great. We go to the weightlifting contest. Teddy Long and Booker T are on the stage. They've got a weight bench out there with a bar with weights on it. The list goes 225 pounds, and that the two most powerful men in WWE was going to prove who were the strongest. Then we're going to do the bench press contest used in the NFL, 225 pounds, whoever can lift it the most wins. They introduced both guys. Ryback came out and did like a full entrance if he was going to the ring. And they, the only thing they didn't do was pop his pyro, which I guess was good because there were guys standing on the stage. But, I mean, he did like the whole gimmick. He threw his hands down and looked up on the last board and said that and whatnot. Mark Henry just walked out and got in his face. And Henry has been the star of this feud and a lot of feuds going back for the past year. He was great here in this part. And then it all goes to hell from there. They you know, again go through the rules. They've got referee Scott Armstrong standing there counting the lifts. And then we had to sit through these two guys lifting this bar 106 times combined, 53 times for Henry, 53 times for Ryback. Mark Henry went first and lifted 53 times. And when Henry was introduced, Booker T was going to introduce him just like he did Ryback, but Teddy Long jumped in, hold on player, I got this. They had an uncomfortable moment where Booker was looking at him. I still don't know what the hell they're doing there. I wish they wouldn't do anything there. They should just leave that alone. But at any rate, so we get continued tension between Booker T and Teddy Long. Mark Henry lifts first 53 times. That sets a new record because 51 was the old record. You can kind of see it coming at this point. Ryback goes next. He gets to 53, starts to lift for 54. Henry comes over, shoves everybody out of the way, pushes the bar back down. Actually, he and Ryback fight for a minute while he's pushing the bar down. Finally gets the bar down across Ryback's throat, chokes him for a minute until Ryback's able to push the bar off and rolls down to the floor. Henry's screaming at him like he does the whole time. You know, this is what I do. This is what I'm going to do, whatnot. And Henry's chased off. The refs are attending to Ryback. And Ryback made it to his feet after having his larynx crushed, shoved off the refs, and we went to commercial from there. The best word I could come up with this was cheesy. That's the word I use in the hit list, cheesy, to describe this. Because that's what it was, Jake. It was cheesy. It was the most boring segment I believe I've seen in a long time. Who wants to sit here and watch these guys lift weights?
Yeah, I mean, that part of it was kind of bizarre, and I don't know how much weight was actually on that bar, but I'm going to make a guess that it probably was not 225 pounds, just based on, how quickly those guys pushed up 53 times, but maybe I'm crazy.
All right, well, not to cut you off, I want to say, WWE was on their website. They spoiled the results of this. They were on their website bragging about the fact they broke the NFL record. So I'm not saying there was 225 pounds, but WWE is going out of their way to make people believe that it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt for a second that they would want you to believe that. I just don't know for sure that that was the full 225. But, they did it. I mean, it looked impressive. I mean, you know, pushing up that much weight, but it was an incredibly boring television segment. And then the stuff with Henry forcing the bar down on Ryback's throat. You know, they came back from commercial and they showed a bad camera angle that showed pretty clearly that he was just kind of pushing it right down on his chest.
Yeah.
And that kind of gave that away. And, you know, then Ryback, how quickly he recovered, got to his feet after getting your larynx brushed should put you in the hospital at the very least. You know, I mean, it shouldn't be something you just cough a few times and, all right, I'm back kicking ass. I mean, it just worked that way, so. The whole thing just came off kind of ham-fisted to me. It didn't seem like it was well thought out. And I don't know how it came off in the arena, but it didn't come off any better than the Scott Steiner and Triple H weightlifting contest 2 years ago, which was just as corny as Jesus.
Yeah, and notice at this point, this happened at the top of the second hour, and we've had one match up to this point, and this is what they're doing. This feud would have been much better served by having these guys just beating the crap out of each other every time they saw each other, not getting any resolution and always fought, you know, they brawl to the back, they brawl to wherever, and neither guy is ever able to get over on the other. Build that up to where WrestleMania is going to be where we see some sort of finish between them. Even if you're not having them in matches, just have them slamming into each other. All this hokey, cheesy, oh, we're going to do test of strength, oh, I'm going to hit my finisher on this guy. Well, yeah, well, I'm going to hit my finisher on his partner. It's not working for me. It's more cartoony. It reminds me of the 80s in WWF. And I was not at all impressed with this segment in the least. After commercial break, we got the video clip that showed that Ryback wasn't even really getting hurt by that bar. I don't know why they used that camera angle, but they did. Dolph Ziggler, AJ, Biggie Langston already in the ring. Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Caitlin made their entrance for our second match of the night. Caitlin and Daniel Bryan defeating AJ and Dolph Ziggler in 3 minutes and 10 seconds. Pretty good match here for a 3-minute match. It was, Daniel Bryan was getting ready to get over on Dolph Ziggler, so Ziggler quickly tagged in AJ. That led to all kinds of brawling on the floor. Kane took out Biggie Langston. Ziggler took out Kane. AJ jumped on Daniel Bryan's back. It was just all kinds of mayhem. And then out of nowhere, Caitlin hits the spear for the pinfall victory. Do you think that we're going to see AJ? I mean, obviously AJ will be in the corner for Ziggler and Langston at WrestleMania. Do you think this just ends up with Caitlin in the corner at Mania itself, or do you think we get a title match at Mania? I'm leaning more towards just in the corner, and we get the title match at Extreme Rules. But what do you think?
I would not be surprised at all to see a Caitlin and AJ match make it on like the YouTube pre-show or something. From what I understand, WWE is putting on like an hour-long YouTube pre-show for WrestleMania, so I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if we see that match make it onto the pre-show. And maybe they'll have Caitlin escort Kane and Bryan to the ring, too, for the match on the main card. But I could definitely see a rematch in Extreme Rules, depending on how things go. But it does seem like they're at least adding Caitlin to this match for WrestleMania, and perhaps I thought they might put them on the YouTube show. It's a logical place for that. They got a pretty jam-packed WrestleMania card.
Yeah, 10 matches announced so far, and it's a four-hour show, but the pre-show, like you talked about, there's places they can plug it in. I tend to think not, but you never know. You never really know what's going to happen in WrestleMania. You hate to see an unannounced match on WrestleMania, but what are you going to do if that's how they go? We went to the Shield backstage from there for one of their herky-jerky camera promos. They said that they were there to talk about cliches, and the worst thing they'd ever heard is that people can put their differences aside and join together to fight them at WrestleMania. That was ridiculous that Big Show and Sheamus and Randy Orton thought they could do that. Reigns claimed that they could choke on their cliches, and Rollins said that they didn't stand a chance. Dean Ambrose closed them out so they might think they could play nice together, but this isn't a game. It's a story about justice, and the final chapter will be told at WrestleMania. I am officially done with the Shield at this point, Jay. Not that they can't save it, but it's gotten stale. They've got to do something at WrestleMania to further the storyline. It's the same problem I had with Aces and Eights and TNA. They come out, they get some beatdowns, but then when they don't succeed at doing that, they look kind of flimsy and weak, especially when they're not doing anything else with them but just having these run-ins. They've got to advance the storyline, or these three guys who have been fantastic in their roles are going to lose all the juice they've got.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think they've let this go on too long without advancing any of their motives whatsoever. I mean, they talk about justice and believing in the Shield and all that stuff. I mean, Ambrose talks about WrestleMania being the final chapter. Orton and Show and Sheamus weren't even part of the first chapter. I mean, they started out being all about Ryback, and then they've kind of shifted gears here, and it doesn't make sense that they would continue trying to tell the same story. So, I don't know. I don't get where they're going with the Shield at this point. I do think they need to do something interesting with them at WrestleMania. I'm not sure exactly what that is at this point, but they need to, somebody's got to jump their battery here and get them moving in a different direction. They're slowly kind of creeping to a stop here, and it's not good for anybody involved. I think there's still a lot of promise there, but it needs a new direction.
Yeah, it's like you said, I don't know what they do either. That's kind of the funny thing. The build that I don't like for whatever match, if I have a problem with this match or that match, I had kind of fantasy book in my head what I would have done differently. For the Shield at this point, I don't know. Because I don't know what their ultimate thing is. If there's just going to be this random group that beats up people, if that's going to be their gimmick long term, I don't think it's got legs. And I hate that because these three guys have been fantastic in the role, but they've not given them anything else. We need an advancement. We need more understanding about what they're doing and why. They've just got to advance the storyline. If they do, I think everything will be okay. But if not, if we just get more of the same at WrestleMania, this group is losing its juice quickly. Kali, Natalya, and Hornswoggle out before the break. Afterwards, Jack Swagger makes his entrance with Zeb Coulter. Of course, they go after Great Khali, as to call them a slightly more competent call center operative, which is kind of ridiculous. They said they broke Ricardo's ankle to bind the country, we the people, all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, just same basic stuff. And that led to our third match of the night, Jack Swagger, Great Khali defeating Jack Swagger by DQ at 3 minutes and 8 seconds. This match ends up on the outside. They announced it as a DQ or was it a count out, because this was on the outside, the ref counting. Swagger's got Khali in the ankle lock, wouldn't break it. And then the ref calls for the bell. So was it a double count out, or was it a win for Khali by DQ?
I did not hear the ref call for a count out. Basically, he signaled for the bell as soon as he counted to five when Swagger was released the hold. So that's when I counted it.
Okay.
I guess you could probably interpret it either way. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I don't know why I got worked up over it, but. So Hornswoggle attacks Jack Swagger at that point to get him to break the hold on Khali. Of course, Swagger kills Hornswoggle, acts like he's going to break his foot. Ricardo hobbles out onto the stage with a crutch and his foot in a boot. He starts yelling at Swagger, you know, why don't you come get some more? Why don't you take another chance at me? Swagger gets in the ring, drags his foot across, and there's the line, why don't you try to cross it? Carrillo slides in and attacks Swagger from behind, locks on the cross, the arm breaker. Ricardo Rodriguez comes down the ramp. Coulter's trying to break up the hold, or does break up the hold, but Ricardo ends up hitting him with the crutch. He throws it to Del Rio, who takes a swing at Swagger, but Swagger ducks it, and they beat it up the ramp. I really wanted to like this feud, Jake, but it's been mismanaged from the beginning. Neither guy has really played the part that I thought they were going to play. It hasn't worked. They've gotten away from the silly, you know, pro-Mexico, anti-Mexico thing, but I think it was just too little too late at this point. This is a flop. This is the only real flop on the WrestleMania show. There are some matches that don't really have any sort of story behind them or any of any significance. This one got plenty of time, but they've just done a bad job of getting it over.
Yeah, I mean, they really, handed these guys a shit sandwich, in my opinion. I mean, I like both of these guys, and I think their acts are both pretty good. I thought Del Rio was doing a decent job of getting over as a babyface prior to getting involved with Swagger, and I thought, you know, when Swagger and Coulter debuted, you know, as a tandem, I thought it had promise, but they, you know, I don't know if they had to back off with advertising or you know, political concerns or what they had to do, but you know, they ended up backing away from probably their original idea and trying to, you know, turn this feud into something that obviously they have in mind. And now they've abandoned that idea and just kind of turned it into, you know, Swagger breaking Ricardo's ankle, and they're making vague metaphors about, you know, they had to break a bone to unite a nation and all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't know who they're talking to. It doesn't seem to be having any effect on WWE crowds, and as a result, you know, Del Rio, you know, attacking Swagger to get revenge for his friend gets kind of a polite reaction and applause, but it's not really, you know, none of this makes any sense for a feud for the World Heavyweight Championship. It just feels like it's, you know, they had an idea and they aborted it, and now, you know, we're just kind of coasting into WrestleMania. It's disappointing because I think, you know, both these guys could have done something interesting had they been given better material.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It didn't work. I had really high hopes for this. Just like you, I liked both guys. I had really high hopes for this feud. It just hasn't delivered. At this point, it's going on about it's kind of kicking a dead horse. So we will move on. We get another video that hypes CM Punk and Undertaker, kind of covered what happened on Monday and continues to hype that match. Backstage, we've got a new interviewer, Renee Young. What did you think about the new pretty Renee Young that they've got backstage doing interviews now? How long do you think she'll make it?
I don't know. I guess it depends on how long until Orton craps in her bag. But you know, I'm assuming, you know, she did a pretty good job. I mean, behind the camera, in front of, you know, she's definitely pretty, and she sounded very articulate on the microphone. And I mean, she can conduct an interview, so I don't, you know, see what really to pick apart there. She she definitely fits the role. I guess it depends on, you know, how she fits in backstage.
Yeah, I think it's a good, I just want to say I think it's a good move. We were very critical of Ring of Honor when they first started on their new TV show, and how, as Jason put it, Jason Powell put it, the time and again, it was just a sausage fest. It was just guy after guy after guy after guy. And you know, granted, there's some women's wrestling in WWE and whatnot. You've got Lily in there doing ring introductions, but it's, I mean, it was still mostly a sausage fest in WWE, and so it's nice to see a little bit of a change there. I think this is a smart move on their part, trying to reach out to women as well. But Renee Young was interviewing Sheamus, Orton, Big Show, and I was instantly turned off by this segment. She started to ask them, you know, could they team up? You know, they should have quit for Monday. You know, it was impossible that they could be able to team up, but you know, it looks like they were going to be able to do it. They were asked how they were gelling as a team. Orton said they were doing really good. They had a common enemy, and everything was fine there. And then Sheamus and Big Show kind of devolved into bickering back and forth. Sheamus said, you know, there was absolutely no problem. They put their issues aside. So he said he wasn't the one who had problems to begin with. It was Sheamus that had problems. And Sheamus said, well, we didn't know if we could trust you. And Big Show said, so that's my fault that you've got an issue, and it degraded from there. It's a silly bickering. Orton jumps in and says, hey, we need to focus. We've got to be on the same page, and if we are, it'll be bad news for our opponents tonight and for the Shield. I hated it. I flat hated it. As soon as Show stuck his hand inside, or his hands like inside of his singlet, almost, you know, like a kid does or whatever, when they pull their hands inside their sleeves or whatever. He looked ridiculous, and he and Sheamus just bickering back and forth. I wanted to kill all of them. I hated this segment.
Yeah, it wasn't anything good. I mean, it was so cliche that I thought it was, you know, just kind of playing into the earlier Shield promo. I mean, it reminded me of those terrible backstage interviews with Survivor Series teams that they used to do in, like,
yeah,
the late 80s. And I don't know, it just didn't work. It was almost too cliche for me to even describe. You have to go back and watch it, but it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Big Show's just, I don't know what to buy, you know. And you know, I'm like, well, why are you trying to put it on me? And shit, I was so bad. I was just, I'm watching, screaming at my laptop going, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Why are they doing this? But, fortunately, with the commercial from there, when we came back, those guys made their entrance. And then Rhodes Scholars came out next, along with Antonio Cesaro. Sandow cut a promo. I forget what he said, because Antonio Cesaro started yodeling, and at this point I started composing my resignation letter for the 5,000th time, because it was just, I don't even know what the hell that was. That was our fourth and final match of the night. Think about that now. Fourth match on SmackDown, the Wrestling Heavy Show. Four matches, Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show defeating Rhodes Scholar and Antonio Cesaro, 10 minutes and 12 seconds. A pretty good six-man match. I mean, you look at the talent you've got in there, no real surprise that they were able to have a decent match. The finish comes when everybody hits the finisher, and the last was, let's see, where was it? Sheamus hitting the bro kick on Cody Rhodes and his caterpillar mustache. For the victory, it was just to make these guys look good. Not a whole lot to say about the match. Jake, feel free to add anything, but I'm just going to move on real quick to what happened afterwards. So when I turn it over to you, if you got anything you want to say about the match, throw it in. Other than the fact that Cesaro yodeled at least one more time in the match, if not a couple more times, still don't know why. But the Shield music hits. They start making their way down the ring. Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show decide they're not going to wait for him. They jump over the ring, go up into the crowd. The crowd really liked this. I mean, to be fair, the Hershey just popped huge when those guys jumped the barricade and started up the stairs. Shield played it off as confused. They fought for a minute, then decided the better of it. They ran out of the arena. Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show ended up posing on, like, some sort of flat area halfway up the bowl of the arena. That was a good visual. It was a good way to close SmackDown. So they have a good visual for that match, but I don't know. I don't like them necessarily getting over on the Shield as much as they have over the past couple of weeks. I know you've got to, you know, make it seem like they have a chance to win, but it's Big Show, Sheamus, and Randy Orton. Don't you believe they have a chance to win anyway? Do you really have to go out of your way to prove this? But I got to admit, Hershey coming alive for that last segment helped it more than anything else. And it was a really great visual at the end, Orton standing in between Sheamus and Big Show with his arms out calling for the fans to continue to hype up. I like that. I like the way that looked to end the show, but as a whole, the match, while good, was meaningless, and then the post-match stuff was kind of short and simple, and I don't know, not as effective as I thought it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why in this situation that they felt like, you know, Orton, Big Show, and Sheamus needed more effort to get over to the Shield. I mean, basically, the way that they're presenting this match is that the only way that the babyface team could possibly lose is if Big Show, for some reason, can't get along with Sheamus or whatever. You know, they're treating it as a foregone conclusion today. I don't think they're doing enough to present Shield as guys who can beat them anyway, regardless of, you know, how well they're getting along. So I think that, you know, I just have a slight disagreement about the way that's been presented. The match itself, like you said, it was a good match. I already have my resignation letter penned. I will sign it and continue having Antonio Cesaro Yoda play through matches. That was the most bizarre and pointless thing because they didn't even explain it. I mean, it's not like, oh, you know, he's from Austria. He's normal now. I mean, so they didn't even present it like that. It was just random yodeling, and I don't know where it's going. But yeah, I the match was good. The post match thing was well done. I mean, like you said, the crowd was into it. It was a nice visual spectacle on television. But the way that they're presenting this feud, I just disagree with it. I think the Shield deserves more diligence than that.
Yeah, you make a good point. It appears that the only way that the Shield can possibly win this match is if there's a breakdown between in the team, and they're getting over on them. The babyface team is getting over on them on television. They're close with this. I thought this was going to be a pretty good feud. It's not been bad. They've had some good moments, but there are things that they could do that would make it much better, and they failed to do that. So. As a whole, WrestleMania, let me ask you, Jake, we've talked before about what the excitement level is. I was at, Jason and I talk about this in .NET Weekly, the excitement level's kind of fallen off a little bit. I'm still at a 7 just because of the fact that it's WrestleMania and there's matches that I want to see. But if you kind of take that out and just say, what has the build done for you, I would put me at a 4 or a 5 at this point. I'm interested to see where you are. I know you were probably, you were at an 8 the last time we talked. So where are you today, just a week out from WrestleMania?
You know, I don't think they've done anything to move the needle at all. I mean, it's been kind of a holding pattern on television. They haven't really moved any of the feuds forward at all. I mean, if anything, I said I was between a 7 and an 8, and I would lean more towards 7 than 8 now. I mean, it's just been kind of a disappointment how little they've managed to increase my interest in these views over the past couple of weeks. Kind of surprising to me. You know, generally this time of the year they fire on all cylinders in terms of story development, but that just hasn't been the case here. And whether that's the creative upheaval that's been going on, you know, with new people moving into positions or whatever's going on in backstage, but it doesn't feel like they're firing cleanly here. It just seems like they're having a confused build towards WrestleMania. Kind of a shame because it's the one time of the year when you can usually count on stories being thought out well in advance. I'm not getting that impression.
They have one more Raw and a little bit of a SmackDown to try to build this, but really what we get Monday night on Raw will be the go-home for WrestleMania. It will be just the beginning of the week for us. There was WWE wraps up business going into WrestleMania. We will just be getting started next week. Jason Powell will be along Monday night with that Raw audio review, and then from there it is audio after audio after audio. Talked about a lot of it at the top of the show, the .NET countdown. Jason Powell and I being joined by Seth Mace Sunday night for WrestleMania. Jason being joined by Brian Fritz on Sunday morning. .NET Weekly, Jason and I's official preview and predictions for WrestleMania. Other staff members will be getting together. Of course, everybody will be doing a written preview. Just a ton of stuff coming up this week, and most of it, again, is going to be reserved for our members. So head over right now. Thank you for listening to our show. We hope we've enticed you to become a .NET member. Head over right now and do so at ProWrestling.net. Click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up, and we will get you started. $7.50 a month carries you all the way through WrestleMania and Extreme Rules. Jake and I may or may not be back next week for a SmackDown Live review. It kind of depends on what the show is. My guess is not, because, again, there's not going to be anything really to review, and there's going to be so much talk about all of these feuds, all of these matches going into next Sunday's WrestleMania. So we will probably not be back next week, but it will be the week after that. So look forward for that. Again, there'll be other all-access audio if you're not a .NET member. But if you've ever thought about becoming one, now's the time. Now's the time to get access to all of that stuff. Sign up now to be a .NET member. Jake and I will see you back here together then in 2 weeks. But until then, enjoy all the articles, all the audio, all the final build to WrestleMania 29. I'm not sure yet what kind of coverage we've got that weekend for the other shows. I do intend to cover the Ring of Honor show. I'm not sure. I think we've got someone covering Dragon Gate and or Evolve shows, but I'm not entirely sure on that. But just keep an ear to the ground. Keep checking .NET. We will let you guys know for sure who's covering what. It will be a wrestling heavy week and weekend here on the site, just like it will be locally in the New York market. We thank you guys for your support of the .NET site. And until next time, I am Chris Shore for Jake Barnett saying thank you for listening and for your continued support. Everyone have a great weekend and take care.